Hello, I'm Michaela, and this is Lactation Station. Welcome back. Today, ladies, I'd really like to have a serious conversation about inducing. It's not an easy process, we know that, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of hard work and dedication. If there are things that you don't want to do that are part of the inducing process, then it's probably not going to work for you. You can't just take a bunch of supplements and wait for something to happen. Breast milk production is all about supply and demand. No matter how many supplements you take, if you're not willing to put in the work, it probably isn't going to work for you. If you don't have a partner, then your breast stimulation has to come from a different source. Using a TENS unit in the beginning will work the best. And it's about supply and demand. Your choices are one of two. You can use a pump or learn the Marmot technique. Not everyone gets good milk extraction with a pump, but at first, all you want is your body to think that there's a baby nursing. And I've heard people say they don't want a pump, so they aren't going to. Well, then if you're not going to get that far. I mean, I don't think anyone likes to pump. No one wants to do it. It's born out of necessity for increasing the reaction of the breast tissue. And if you're really dead set against pumping, the other option is the Marmot technique. It's a good technique to learn. Even if you can't get the exact technique down, you're still going to need to learn some version of what it is. Whatever is going to work for you to help you empty your breasts. And I cannot stress enough that the basis for successful lactation is absolutely supply and demand. When the breast is stimulated, prolactin levels in the blood rise. They peak in about 45 minutes, somewhere around there, and return to pre-breastfeeding state at about 3 hours. That's why we pump or use the TENS unit every 3 to 4 hours, because that's when the prolactin subsides back into your system. So then you want to get it, you know, back up, ramp it back up there again. The release of the prolactin triggers the cells in the alveoli to make milk. Prolactin also transfers to the breast milk, and some research indicates that prolactin in milk is greater at times of higher milk production and lower when the breasts are fuller. And the highest levels tend to occur between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. So you want the highest level of prolactin available, which is why you want to empty your breasts as much as you can. The hormonal endocrine system drives milk production during pregnancy and the first few days after birth. When milk supply is firmly established, the autocrine or local control system kicks in. And during this stage, the more milk that is removed from the breast, the more the breast will produce milk. Research also suggests that draining the breast more fully also increases the rate of milk production. And all of us should know that by now. So you have to empty your breast by some means. You know, using the TENS unit will stimulate the breast tissue, but you have to get the milk out in order to produce more milk. If you have dreams of, you know, having a large supply of milk, it's not going to do you any good to take a handful of supplements and then sit back and wait. Because if you're not emptying your breast, if you're not stimulating your breast, if you're not using a pump or the Marmot technique, if you're not doing one of those to indicate to your body that it needs to make more milk, then it's not going to do anything. And you're going to get frustrated and angry and give up. So if you don't want to pump, if you're dead set against it, if you feel like you can't learn some version of the Marmot technique, then don't even start, because you're just gonna get frustrated, and I'm just trying to save you months of frustration. Just don't even start if you're not willing to put the work in. Emptying the breast. This is something that's not an optional step. If you're not willing to pump because you don't like it, no one does, and you think you're not that good at hand expression, so you're not willing to do that either, and you don't have a partner, like I said, then you might as well not even start. Because in the long run, all you're going to do is frustrate yourself and get nowhere. You know, there's just no point in it if you don't have a partner. I mean, having a partner is the best option. but not everybody has a partner available to them. I didn't when I first started. So if you don't have a partner, you have to do one of the other two techniques. If you're not willing to do those, then save yourself and anybody you're trying to get advice from a lot of heartache and just don't stop. All right, so let's talk about some of those supplements that you can take. Most importantly, I want to talk about fenugreek. And I think there are a lot of misconceptions about this herb. First and foremost, if it works for you, then use it. It's just that simple. If by some chance you ask others for advice on this herb, I think it's a 50-50 shot as to what you will be told. If you're taking it and producing, then keep taking it. If you've been taking it and suddenly your supply tanks, I would hazard to guess that that's probably not the issue. If you're taking fenugreek and you're getting good supply and all of a sudden your supply tanks, I would really think that it's something else. A lot of the time, I recommend to ladies that they may want to wait to add fenugreek until they've established a supply, simply because there's a chance that the fenugreek may inhibit your supply from starting. I know that sounds weird, but it can happen, and I've had several people tell me it's happened to them. So, you know, it's just one of those things that you have to be careful with. However, if you're producing well while on it, then by all means, continue. Also, when it comes to advice, you have to learn how to sort through it and find what works for you. I try to give the best advice I can for every person that asks, but like everybody else, I'm not perfect. If you ask for advice on fenugreek because your supply tanked, chances are I will tell you to stop taking it and see what happens. And that's good, sound advice. That doesn't mean you should just stop because I suggested it. If you were already taking it and getting good results from it, maybe you're stressed at work or worried about something that's going on, and that's why your supply tanked. Since I don't know that, I can't advise on that. So you have to sort out what you're being told and, you know, take everything that you hear and kind of siphon through it and find what works for you. You know, what's going on in your everyday life? You know, this is what somebody said about this and that. And just kind of sort through those answers and find what you need. You know, there's a lot of different supplements out there. Legendary has some really good ones. Liquid Gold and Pump Princess are my personal favorites. I feel like Moringa, Shatavari, and Goat's Rue, which those two supplements have, those three are the best components for lactation. Now, having said that, I recently got some samples from Upspring, and I've been drinking their berry juice drink mix and eating their chocolate chip cookies, and I have noticed an increase in my supply. Is it a huge dramatic increase? No. I guess it depends on how you look at it. It's about 2 ounces per pump session that it's increased. That's an ounce on each side. So yeah, I guess that is, you know, a pretty good increase. So I can tell you that they work, at least a little bit. Do I still think you should wait to take fenugreek until you get a supply? Yes, because too many times I've heard women say it actually inhibited their supply. But again, if you're using it and it's working for you, then by all means, keep using it. So next I want to talk about some changes. You should notice some changes in the color of your areola. It may not be dramatic as it is from pregnancy because there's a lot more hormonal stuff going on during pregnancy, but there should in fact still be a slight darkening of your areola. Remember, your body doesn't know the difference between lactation from pregnancy and induced lactation, so you're still going to get some of those changes associated with pregnancy. You should also see an increase in your appetite during lactation. It's your body's way of telling you that you need to eat more to sustain your body's caloric needs. The increase in calories will ensure that you can function as normal, along with maintaining an abundant milk supply. Now, according to ThroughParenting.com, It is estimated that breast milk production uses about 25% of your body's energy consumption. And average moms make about 24 to 28 ounces of milk every day. Oh, don't I wish. And again, that is equivalent to burning 300 to 500 calories per day. So you're, well, I don't know if it's obvious. I'm not pumping 24 to 28 ounces of milk a day. I wish on a good day I get 12. But I know that my body's still burning calories because sometimes my hunger is through the roof. Like I can't eat enough to make myself happy. So it's really important to watch the kind of things that you eat. You may not be producing, like me, as much milk as a breastfeeding mom, but you're still putting a demand on your body. So it's important that you supply with your body with the calories that it needs. It's just as important to make good choices when looking for things to eat. Also, once again, please let me state that you do not need to drink excessive amounts of water. I read so often the advice to drink large amounts of water. If you're not thirsty and your urine is a nice, very pale yellow, you're hydrated and fine. If you get thirsty when you're pumping or expressing, that's completely normal and you should have something with you to drink. Remember, you don't want your urine clear for too long. That creates other problems of being overhydrated. Where this misconception came from that you must drink gallons of water a day while lactating is beyond me. I really don't understand it. I mean, during the summer, especially here in Vegas, it is important to drink water and stay hydrated. I mean, but that's it. And remember, your hydration comes from other sources too, such as fruits and vegetables. And even though you'll get a bunch of other stuff you don't want, you still get hydration from other drinks as well. So, you know, you don't have to solely drink water. You don't have to sit there and drink gallons of water all day, every day. You know, just check yourself. If you're thirsty, have a drink. Does it have to be water? No. It can be Powerade, Gatorade, Body Armor. I've been on a big kick with the pink drink lately that I actually make at home with white cran strawberry juice and silk coconut milk. And I have a bottle of that with me all the time. Plus, I drink a lot of other stuff that I probably shouldn't, like Monsters and Rockstars. But my point is, you know, you know your body. Don't let somebody tell you, oh, well, you're only pumping 2 ounces because you're not drinking 2 gallons of water. That is not the case at all. If you induced, then chances are at that pumping session, that's the best you're going to get. It doesn't necessarily have to do with how much water you're drinking, as long as you're hydrated and your urine is a very pale yellow. Okay. Another thing I want to talk about is just because you have larger breasts, that does not mean that you have larger breast storage capacity. Breast storage capacity is literally what the name says, the amount of milk that your breasts are physically capable of holding. Your breast storage capacity is determined by how many glands and ducts there are in the breast and how large they are. And larger breasts typically contain more fatty tissue rather than more glandular tissue. And you can be an A cup and hold more milk than someone that's a D cup. You know, it's all about the capacity of your breast, not the size of them, because ultimately how big your breasts are is just fatty tissue. All right, well, you know, there's something that we never talked about and somebody asked me about not too long ago, and that's uterine cramping. And it may happen for you and it may not, but it's perfectly normal. Nipple stimulation during lactation causes oxytocin, which we already know that, to be released into your bloodstream. And this hormone causes the contraction of smooth muscles. Now, if you had just had a baby, this would help your uterus contract back to its pre-pregnancy shape and size. So if you do have some cramping, that is perfectly normal, not anything to be alarmed about. If you feel the cramps are uncomfortable while you're pumping or suckling, here's a couple of things that you can do. Urinate as often as possible. Even if you don't feel like you need to go, a full bladder prevents the uterus from contracting completely, which can intensify or prolong pain, and that's no fun. Then also while you're pumping, if you're having cramps, you can, you know, just kind of rub your belly, massage your belly while you're pumping to gently help relieve pressure and cramping. And if you're not having cramps, don't worry about it. Not everybody does. Okay. So the last thing that I want to talk about, and I get so frustrated, it's actually become a trigger for me, I think, is this whole thing with domperidone. You know, I read on Reddit and I hear people say that they're terrified to take it because they don't want to die and they're going to have a heart attack. And it literally, like, I get so angry when I read stuff like that because it's such false information, false news, huh? Now I feel like Donald Trump. But no, seriously, I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. And no matter how much I talk about it, I still find somebody who's terrified to take it because they think they're going to die. And it's so dramatic. Oh my gosh. Because there's no scientific literature anywhere that I could find, to the best of my knowledge, that talks about a healthy woman who died from using domperidone to increase her milk supply. None. There's no scientific literature anywhere. And I think these people are lacking in information. And I've talked about it before, you know, and the study that the FDA did, I think it was in 2004, but I'd actually have to go back and look at my notes. It might have been longer than that, with this group of people that were in chemo, and they were using domperidone in extremely large doses intravenously, and there were a few men that died of a heart attack. So the FDA can't pull chemotherapy off the shelves. They searched for the one drug that they could take off the shelves to use as an explanation why these 70 and 80-year-old men who were in chemo, so I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they had cancer, and who knows what other problems that they had, they died from heart attacks. The FDA said, oh, well, it must be this drug that made them have a heart attack. We don't even know if that's true. You know, it could have been their age. They could have had high blood pressure. There could have been a lot of things going on that we don't even know because we have no access to those studies and reports. We just have the FDA ruling us with their iron thumb, telling you we've decided this isn't good for you. We're the only country in the world that doesn't make domperidone available to moms or anybody. And it's outrageous. There are so many mothers that are so concerned with low supply that end up not feeding their babies in a natural state because they can't produce enough milk when they could if the FDA would let them. But it won't happen. It won't happen anytime soon. And that's not what this is about. I'm trying to alleviate the fears of people who think they're going to start taking domperidone and in 3 months have a heart attack and die. That is not the case. I mean, if you're healthy, I guess I should say, because sure, it could happen. You know, people ask me, can it happen? Well, sure, it could happen. There's a meteor heading towards the Earth right now that could wipe out the planet before Election Day. It could happen. A lot of things could happen. But is it, excuse me, is it likely? No, it's not likely. Like I said, there's no scientific literature dating back to the 70s and earlier that I could find anywhere that states a healthy woman died from the use of domperidone. And I have researched this like nothing else. You know, if anybody has any questions about dom, if you want to know anything, I'm always available to answer your questions. I can answer them on Reddit. You can email me. You can, you know, text message me. I know I gave you my phone number, so you can text message me and, you know, I will try to answer your questions for you. But I really would really like to remove this mindset for all you beautiful people out there that want the help of Dom, but you're afraid to take it. Take it. I am a strong advocate for it. If it's going to help you, take it. Okay. So that's my rant for today. Don't forget to go by the website. I also added a new button. If you'd like to be a guest poster on my blog, at the website, you are more than welcome to submit a post and I'll review it. What else? Don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. Don't forget to join the Facebook page. And if you have any questions, you can message me. You can text message me. You can email me. You can message me on Reddit at Micah0004. You know, I try to put all this stuff available out there for you. If there's anything that I can do to help you with your inducing journey, please let me know. All right, this is Michaela, and we're talking on Lactation Station. Have a great afternoon.